This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everyone. This is Greg Gazin. Each year on the podcast, we have the honor of speaking with the newest international president. Now, in case you're wondering, the president is an officer of the Toastmasters International Board of Directors, a working ambassador for the organization who works with the board to develop, support, and modify the policies and procedures that guide Toastmasters International in fulfilling its mission. It's also a volunteer role. Now, for 2024-2025, we have Roddy Spear. She is a software engineer for AT&T in New Jersey and a veteran in the telecommunication industry for over three decades. She has expertise in software development, systems administration, and acceptance testing. She troubleshoots problems and develops software for projects that impact millions of people. Roddy holds a master's degree of science in electrical engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and she's very active. She participates in employee resource groups at AT&T, including Women of AT&T and Inspiration, which fosters development and leadership opportunities for its members. And if that's not enough, Roddy was also an assistant Girl Scout troop leader for 5 years. She is a distinguished Toastmaster, a member since the new millennium, 2000, and only the ninth woman to lead our illustrious organization since its inception 100 years ago. Roddy also received a presidential citation in 2009. She's a member of three clubs and also a charter member of her home club, AT&T Middletown Toastmasters in Middletown, New Jersey. Roddy's profile: meet Roddy Spear, distinguished Toastmaster. The 2024 International President is Gearing Up for Growth, written by Laura Mishkine, can be found in the September 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today, all the way from Piscataway, New Jersey, Madam International President Roddy Spear, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you, Greg. It's my pleasure to be here.
So, Roddy, how does it feel to be the one individual that's going to lead us into the next century?
It's an honor and a privilege, and also a very exciting role to have. I am so proud to belong to Toastmasters. It has done so much for me and for others, and I would like everyone to be proud to be a Toastmaster.
The role is also perfect for you because in your profile, I read that you love to travel.
That's right. I've been very fortunate. I guess I started my travels when I was 3 years old, when my parents moved to Africa, to Lagos, Nigeria. So I had a wonderful childhood there and traveling, I guess, ever since.
So since you're talking a little bit about your childhood, let's get to know you just a little bit better. I have to admit, I was blown away seeing where you came from to where you are now, leading an organization such as Toastmasters International. From the profile, I understand that you grew up under very unique circumstances, the youngest of five sisters. You were shy and trembled when you were told to speak up. And to add a little more salt to the wound, you as a child moved 8,000 kilometers to a new continent and then back. And as you put it in the article, you survived. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I moved to Nigeria when I was 3 years old, so I don't remember anything before then. I had a wonderful childhood, like I mentioned, but I was very shy and very quiet. So in class, my first grade teacher always wanted us to stand up and answer the question. And I would just be whispering answers, and he would say, "Speak up!" And I would just whisper even more. But somehow, as I said, I survived. I mean, school was fun. Everything was good. Don't get me wrong. I had a great childhood. It's just that I was extremely shy and extremely timid, I would say. When my family moved back to India and I went to high school there, because I grew up in Africa, I had that Nigerian accent. So the kids always laughed at me when I spoke, and I had to take those Indian languages. So I took Hindi and Sanskrit, and every time the teacher asked me to read and I'd put on my best Indian accent to read, the kids would start laughing. And my parents tried to help me out. They put me in a Catholic school, so that way I would wear a uniform and look like just like all the other kids. But when I opened my mouth, I always sounded different. So overnight, I tried to acquire an Indian accent. I don't know how well that worked.
And then, of course, subsequently, you moved to the U.S. to pursue your master's. So that also brought another interesting situation.
Yeah. So, you know, in India, when I studied engineering, there were 13 girls in my class. But when I came to the U.S., I was the only girl in my engineering classes for my master's program. And I tried to sit in the last row and kind of blend in. But eventually the teachers would spot me, like suddenly they're like, oh, there's a girl in the class. And they're like, oh, could you come up and answer this question? Could you come and solve this problem on the board? And so I was always picked on. There was no escaping. And I didn't have the confidence or the skills that Toastmasters gives us. But I managed to survive. I could answer the questions. I could do the problems. And it worked out. So now I wish, you know, I had found Toastmasters sooner.
Obviously, you didn't join Toastmasters right away, and we're certainly going to get to that question, finding out how you came to this illustrious organization. But I'm really curious as to what were some of the things that you did to overcome this shyness and help build your self-confidence?
Growing up, the one thing my mother had told all of us sisters was that we had to be self-sufficient and independent. She would just din that into our heads, that we had to be able to stand on our own feet and take care of ourselves. So that I knew I had to do. And she would say the best way is you get a good education, you'll get a good job, you can take care of yourself. So when I came to the U.S. as a student, if you know the immigration laws in this country, foreign students can only work on campus. You're not allowed to work outside campus. It's not legal. So I went to every department because I wanted assistantship so that I could pay my fees and do my studies. Being a foreign student, I tried every department, and I finally was the graduate coordinator of the Peer Counseling Center. And that was a very interesting position. They actually showed us how to talk to students who came in with their troubles. And I enjoyed it. It was something very different for me. But then when my professor found out, he said, look, you're studying electrical engineering. What are you doing in the counseling center? And I said, professor, it doesn't matter. They're paying my fees and I can even do my PhD. They like me so much. So I'll just continue there. And he says, no, give it up. I'll find you research assistantship. Come work for me. But he was insistent. So I gave it up. Started working for him. It wasn't even 2 months when he called me in and he said, I'm sorry, I've lost my funding. And he saw my eyes and I looked at him like, what? And he immediately asked me, can you teach? Being a foreign student, I'm like, oh, yes. Not that I'd ever taught in my life. I was barely 24 at the time. But, you know, when you're determined to succeed and you want to do well, you'll do anything. So I'm like, yes, I can teach. I was asked to teach a junior level class, electromechanical energy conversion, EE331 for juniors. I clearly remember that. I have great respect for teachers because a teacher needs to know so much more than the student. So I would spend my whole day studying the day before my class to teach my class. And I taught 25, 30 students. I taught the class. I had to set the, you know, test papers, correct them, the whole work. So I thought, oh, I you know, not bad. I can handle this. I graduated. I got a job. Fast forward a few years, my parents came to visit. My sisters happened to be here. It was my dad's birthday. And one of my sisters said, hey, we should all celebrate. We're all together. And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. I know exactly the restaurant my father would like. So I started doing all the arrangements. And during the middle of these discussions, one of my sisters said, oh, and we should give dad a toast. And I wasn't paying attention. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I make all the arrangements, the guest list, the menu. And it's a nice September day, a beautiful day. All the guests came. The food was excellent. My father was so pleased. Lunch was really good. And then it was time for the toast. And every one of my sisters spoke until it came to my turn. I'm the youngest. I pick up my glass and my hand is shaking. And I could barely say to the best dad. It was just one sentence. It was awful. I was thinking, wow, I taught a class. I could stand in front of 25, 30 students. And here I am in front of friends and family. And I can't even say one sentence properly. And that's when my sister said, hey, you better join Toastmasters. And she used to belong to a club in India. And at that time, there were barely 7 clubs between India and Sri Lanka. But she just knew it worked. And she said, you better join. And I'm like, okay. Not that I went and immediately sought out a club. But when they started a club in my office, that's when I joined, because she had put that seed in my head that I should. And now I wish I joined sooner. It's like the best kept secret that everyone says. So my goal is to make sure it's not. And as you know, this year we're having 100-year anniversary, and Dr. Smedley has done so much for us. We ask everyone to take the plus one pledge. Try and get one person. Let's share the wealth. So let's share the benefits of Toastmasters. If we could all get someone, a friend, an acquaintance to come to our Toastmasters club and see what it has to offer, I think that would be great. I wish I'd found it sooner.
Now, that pledge, out of curiosity, is there anything specific they need to do, or just make a pledge?
You make a pledge and then you bring someone, anybody, a friend, an acquaintance to a club meeting so they can see for themselves. What I would add to that pledge is, let's close the sale. It's not enough to bring a person to a club or a meeting. Ask them if they'd like to join and get them to join, because this is an investment in themselves. I feel Toastmasters is a win-win. You know, it helps us and it helps them. Every time I take up any position in Toastmasters, I'm learning and growing from that. And at the same time, I feel I'm helping other people. So to me, it's a win-win.
Absolutely. And obviously, you've come a long way. Perhaps could you share maybe a few specific examples of skills that you've learned, whether they're communication or leadership skills, and how they've actually helped you get to where you are today?
Oh, I have learned so many. So one of the lessons that I learned was that, you know, anytime there is an issue, I approach it. My training as being an engineer, it's a problem. I want to solve this. So when I was district governor, the way a district is distinguished is, you know, they have a measurement, number of clubs, number of payments. And those days, it used to be number of CCs and number of ACs. These are these educational goals that we had to achieve. My district at the time, which was District 46, Metropolitan New York and New Jersey, so New York City and its surroundings, and we were over 250 clubs. So to get to those goals, it was quite difficult. My district hadn't been distinguished in several years. We became distinguished when I was the marketing person and then when I was district governor. We were struggling, and I happened to go on vacation to India and I visited my sister's club. And there I realized they meet every week for 3 hours. Wow. And it was like a light bulb. I'm like, no wonder these people can reach their educational goals. They're meeting so frequently. Typically here in the US, we meet for an hour twice a month. So how can you get to those 10 speeches and get that CC in a year if you have so few opportunities to speak? So I came back and I thought this is a solution. And I just declared, you know, we're going to meet every week. And everyone looked at me like, what? They're like, no way, you can't just change things. The lesson I learned was that you really have to get buy-in. You got to explain your thought process and why you're thinking what you're thinking and why you believe that will work. And you also have to lead by example. So I asked my club, and they weren't really thrilled with me, but I said, you know, give it 6 months. Let's try it for 6 months and see. And to this day, we meet every week. So I think there's more continuity, because anytime you meet only twice a month and there's a holiday or something, you're only meeting once a month, then you lose the momentum. Whereas meeting every week, I think, helps. So my takeaway there was to get buy-in and to explain your vision. Because if people buy into your vision, then they'll come along. And if they don't know how to do it, then you help them along.
Buy-in and vision, those are two great leadership skills. What about communication skills? Obviously, you needed help with your toast.
Yes. The one thing about Toastmasters, it's that when you give your speech, you get the feedback, right? The one feedback I used to get a lot, and I'm still working on it, by the way, is that I speak too fast. I mean, being from the Northeast of America, people speak fast. And I think some Indians in general speak fast. So trying to slow down, just because someone says you speak fast doesn't mean overnight you can start speaking slowly. I think over the years, I've lost my accent. By the way, I'm not sure what my accent is anymore, having lived in so many places. I just want to make sure I'm understood. But if you slow down a little bit, then people can follow you and can get the message. And especially what I learned is if you're giving a talk, especially some engineering speech or something a little complicated, then Toastmasters has taught me how you can simplify it to make sure your audience understands what you're trying to say. Sometimes you have managers, supervisors high above who really don't know all the technical details. How can you present it to them so they can understand your logic and why you're suggesting that a certain thing be done a certain way? So it really helps to be able to communicate, to be able to, even if you have charts or graphs, so that it's not too busy, so you just focus on the key elements so that you can get your message across and make it interesting to your audience. You need to know your audience and how to present. And that's another thing that I learned in Toastmasters.
That's awesome. Of course, also using analogies and stories, I find that works very well as well.
Absolutely. You know, if I look back, I still remember my professor in engineering in India, and maybe this is not politically correct, but in India, you know, professors would make some comments and it still sticks in my head. Like, he was trying to explain that a diode conducts only in one direction and not the other. It's like a one-way valve. And so I remember him saying, you know, when I get my salary, I give it to my wife and I get nothing back. It's just one way. And it was considered funny. And, you know, this is India in the good old days, not something people say these days, but it stuck in my head. You know, I'm like, okay, conducts in one direction. I get it.
I am curious, though, the speed, people speaking fast. How did you succeed in slowing down your speaking?
I think one of my aha moments, not only speaking slowly, but enunciating my words. When I first came to the US, I think I recorded a message on my friend's answering machine. And then I went to visit her and she hadn't heard my message and she played it. And then I heard myself and I thought, oh my God, that's not clear at all. I actually yelled at my sisters. I'm like, why didn't you tell me I don't speak clearly? And they said, oh, we understand you. I'm like, no, I want to make sure everyone understands me. And also, you know, in the Toastmasters Club, you get the feedback. So it's just working on it over and over again.
I get that feedback sometimes from people when they listen to the interviews afterwards. They go, is that what I sound like? I don't like my voice. I think your voice is fine.
That's true.
Now, we have a lot of individuals that quite often join Toastmasters for one reason. Maybe they join to become better speakers, but yet they stay to become better leaders. And not all leaders, not all individuals who belong to a club move forward. In fact, you were a little reluctant to take on a role outside of your club. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, I joined Toastmasters purely to improve my communication skills. Since I was a charter member of the club, they needed some club officers. So I took on some roles just to make sure the club was doing okay. And then when I became club president, there was an area contest. Now that I look back, the area director or area governor at the time did not know the rules very well and contacted me and said, look, you need to send someone from your club because I have this really good contestant and there's nobody else. And so I can't hold this contest. Actually, you can hold a contest with just one person, but he didn't know that and I didn't know that. And so I tried to ask everyone in my club if they would take part in this contest and everyone had an excuse. They were busy. They had deadlines. They had family. They had something. And I thought, okay, I'm the president. I better step up. And so I said I would participate in this contest. And then I thought, oh my God, I can't make a fool of myself. I better prepare. And I have to say, that's another thing. I didn't realize how much a contest helps you improve your speaking skills because suddenly you're critically analyzing your speech and how it sounds and you're going to be judged. That was quite an experience for me. Luckily for me, I took part in the contest and I won and went all the way up to district. But the point of the story is that I think contests help. And after that, when I realized that you had to be a district leader to get to DTM and I wanted to be a distinguished Toastmaster, I signed up to be an area director or area governor, as it was called that time. And that opened my eyes to all that Toastmasters has to offer. There's so many opportunities. In my job, I work with inanimate objects. I work with computers in my office. But in Toastmasters, you have all these different experiences that you can have. So it was a lot of fun being an area governor. I learned a lot. And then I was nominated to be division governor.
It might have been in your article, or maybe I just made a note here that being an area director was eye-opening. Maybe you could just share one little brief example.
Yeah. You know, when you're in the club level, the area director is Toastmasters International because you just go to your club meetings and once in 6 months, some person from the outside shows up. And as far as, you know, the club members are concerned, that person is Toastmasters International. So when I became the area governor and I went to visit other clubs, I suddenly realized that even though we operate more or less the same way, every club has a slightly different twist to it. I guess their own culture, it makes it fun. You're out of your comfort zone. You're speaking in a different club. So I learned, and I tried to bring the best of all that I observed back to my home club. And it was eye-opening. Like this one club had a role called a listener role. So they would ask you questions at the end about how well you listen to the speeches and the table topics. So we do that in my club to practice our listening skills. So there's so much more to be learned out there. So much is going on. I know some clubs have a little bell every time you say a R and to give you instant feedback, a tiny ding. You know, there's a lot to be learned, and I think everyone should try it.
You started as an area governor, now called director, to start your, I guess, leadership journey outside the club, and you continued on, obviously, all the way now. You're the international president. I'm thinking if I had one word that might define you, and I think it's or leadership skill that would define you, and I think it's perseverance. No doubt you've built your self-confidence. And in fact, you mentioned this in the article, and I'd love you to share a little bit about this. When you ran for second vice president the first time, you were actually unsuccessful. But again, you persevered. What went through your mind at first, and what was it that motivated you to try again and move forward, which was obviously successful?
Right. When I was running for second vice president, that was just when COVID hit. So initially, everything was in person, and suddenly we had to do everything online. So that transition was also a little bit difficult, but I managed, and I wasn't successful, like you said. And I thought, you know what? I gave it my best. I tried very hard. I wasn't successful. I thanked my campaign team, everyone. Thank you so much. I did my best. That's it. Various past international presidents, past international directors, so many people called me. Some people did the math. They're like, look, it was so close. If you just got another 1,500 votes, you could have won. Other people said, look, in the good old days, everyone used to run at least two times before they were successful. You know, you should give it a shot. And I'm like, yes, yes, thank you. Very nice. You know, they're very sweet, very kind. They're all calling me. And then what pushed me over the edge was my husband. And he said, you know, you've spent all this time. You love this organization. You've put so much time and effort into it. Now there's COVID. It's not that we can travel or do anything. Why don't you try one more time? And what do you have to lose? And he says, worst case, you might lose again. And you've done that already. And you know how that is. In best case, you win. So why not? And I thought, you know, he's right. Why not? One more time. I'm already prepared. I've already done all the legwork and the homework. And, you know, in Toastmasters, it's all about a safe place to learn and grow. And there's nothing wrong in not being successful once and trying again. So I did. And actually, the reaction I got from a lot of district leaders is that, wow, you're putting yourself out there a second time. And I said, hey, I love this organization. I want the best for it. And I'm just going to give it one more try.
It's amazing what you can accomplish when you put your mind to it and you get a little push.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I want to add to this, Greg, is that, you know, I had my mom initially telling me to be self-sufficient and independent, my husband pushing me. But we all have our Toastmasters clubs. You know, if I think about my club, they haven't been to conferences, not even district conference, let alone international convention. But they just hear from me. And I remember telling my club, hey, I'm running for this office of, you know, international director, and it's a contested race, and I have to give a 2-minute speech, and you can imagine this large audience, and I have to walk up and give the speech, and I'm just sharing with them what I have to do. So my club officer, one of them, immediately booked the auditorium at AT&T, which can seat like close to 1,000 people. And then my club members came and sat there. So it was kind of, you know, vacant, but still a huge auditorium. And then they announced me like candidate for, you know, Region 9 International Director, Radhishpiz, you know, and made me walk up and give my 2-minute speech. And then someone from the audience would say, no, no, fix that, correct this again. So we were practicing in the company auditorium. But looking back, that was so sweet, so nice. And that's what our club members do. They support us. They help us.
It's amazing what club members will do. I've had passings in my family, and all of a sudden you're hearing from people you barely know or don't even know, and they're reaching out to offer help.
Let me share another little story. After being area governor, I was nominated for division governor, but I came so close to losing out. I was an unopposed candidate and I went to the district conference. But to my dismay, during the business meeting, a motivational speaker was nominated from the floor to run against me. And then the person sitting next to me at that point nudged me. And I looked at them in surprise and he says, "Hey, now's your chance. Why don't you give it up? Somebody else wants to do the work. You can take it easy." And in that split second, luckily, I said, "No, I still have time to come up with this 2-minute speech." And Toastmasters training helped me, and I was able to give a 2-minute speech and get elected. But if I'd caved or if I'd given up, I wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just the power of words. You know, it can be to good and to bad, I guess.
I think that was the title of Mohammad Khatani's winning speech in 2015, The Power of Words. I think that might have been that one.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Before I forget, on behalf of myself and all of Toastmasters International, I want to personally thank your mother and your husband for giving you that little push that you needed.
Yes, I'm very fortunate and very blessed. You know, I think of Toastmasters as my extended family. Recently, I was telling my office workers I had been on a district visit to Oklahoma. My office mates tell me, "Oklahoma? Who do you know in Oklahoma?" And I said, "Oh, I don't really know them, but they're Toastmasters, so don't worry about it." And it was wonderful. I had a great experience.
That's awesome. Radhi, as we get ready to wrap up, perhaps you can share a little bit of your vision for this year to lead us into, of course, the next Toastmaster century. And what is your message to everyone?
Yeah, there are not too many organizations that have lasted 100 years. And we are in 150 countries, all different cultures, different geographies, different backgrounds. And yet Toastmasters works. And this is because we build a community, we help each other learn and grow, which is what all human beings want. All of our members should take pride that they belong to this wonderful organization. I think we are poised to go another 100 years. Toastmasters has done so much for us. Let us share the wealth. Let us share all the benefits of Toastmasters with our friends and family. And it'll make the world a better place. So I'm really excited about this year. I would like us to be proud to be Toastmasters, and I would like us to see how we can help all our friends and relatives become better speakers and leaders and join Toastmasters and consider it an investment in themselves.
And of course, take the plus one pledge.
That's right. That's right.
Now, folks, if you've been inspired as much as I have, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out Meet Radhi Spear, Distinguished Toastmaster. The 2024 International President is Gearing Up for Growth by Laura Mishkind, and you'll find that in the September 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Again, it's an in-depth profile, and you can also read more stories that Radhi has to share. And you can also catch Radhi's viewpoint each month for the next year in the Toastmaster magazine. Radhi Spear, Distinguished Toastmaster, Madam International President, it has been an absolute honor to speak with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Greg. It was my pleasure.
Ever imagined a book written just for you? Introducing Pooks.ai. We're not just another bookstore. We're the future of reading. Our state-of-the-art AI adapts each book to your specific needs, creating a personalized masterpiece. Visit Pooks.ai now, that's P-O-O-K-S.ai, and use the promotion code SPOTIFY for a whopping 50% off. Pooks.ai, your personalized book awaits.